I spoke recently on a Sunday morning here at St. James's from this opening passage from the chapter of opening chapter of John. And something that spoke to me then and continues to do so is verse 18. It's often translated like this. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. It's translated this way for an ease of understanding, but it's not quite faithful to the Greek. Forgive me, at 12:45, going into some ancient Greek, but here we are. A truer translation of this verse would read something like, no one has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father has made him known. It's not quite as clear, is it? But John is speaking of the very person of God being born into the world, someone who he earlier refers to as the Word, and who we now know as the Son. The Son enters the world from a place of deepest intimacy with the Father, from his bosom, from an eternal, beautiful completeness. At Christmas, Jesus leaves the perfect embrace of heaven for the fragile arms of an earthly mother. And here, I refer you to your service sheet and to the picture that is printed on the front. For those who are unfamiliar with the use of icons in prayer, or who are perhaps a little skeptical of them, I hope that the one that we look at this evening captures your attention as it did mine. This icon is of the infant Jesus with his mother Mary, and this particular type of icon is known as the Eleusa. I've got to get that right, the Eleusa, which means the Virgin of Tenderness or Loving Kindness. And it follows the familiar style of many icons of the Virgin and Child, but with a particular focus on the eye contact between Jesus and Mary, and between Mary and the viewer. In the infant Christ, you see a profound humanness and realness, as those of us who have had small children at any time would recognize as the reality of a child being all over you. Jesus' arms encircle his mother. His feet press into her as if to get as close to her as possible. As we look at this image of Jesus, the Word made flesh, we are being challenged in our view that God is distant, that we are, for whatever reason, and whatever reason we have brought with us, unworthy of his love. Like an energetic child full of adoration for his mother, God is actively pursuing a beautiful intimacy with us. This is what the incarnation and the nativity story is about. The Christ child comes into the world full of grace and truth, eager to be physically near to us. See how the face of Christ is pushed into the face of Mary, almost uncomfortably. See how his face glows with complete love. See how his eyes are utterly transfixed on her. What God longs to say to each one of us is, I see you. His attentive love is fixed upon us, unbroken by any fear or failing which we might apply to ourselves. Their arms wrapped around each other, this image reminds me that I belong to God, and that he, by some wonderful mystery, also belongs to me. This is not just fanciful thinking or theology through interpretive art. Throughout the biblical story, God accepts his identity in terms of those he is in relationship with. What does he call himself? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord God of Israel, the people of Israel, the one whose body is the community of Christian believers. There is no pure self-identification of God except this repeated affirmation of his divine freedom to be identified as the God who chooses a broken humanity. It's a complicated sentence, that one, and that's because I stole it from Archbishop Rowan Williams. So I'm going to repeat it. There is no pure self-identification of God. He does not identify himself in any way except this repeated affirmation of his divine freedom, his choice to be identified as the God who chooses broken humanity, God who chooses us. God is not ashamed to be who he is in Christ, and he is not ashamed to reveal his identity as one of us. In his emptying of himself, Jesus says, "I am not ashamed to be your God." And so while each of us are often moved to share the words of John the Baptist that we must decrease and he must increase, Jesus says, "But I am free to continue looking at you." Jesus doesn't just tolerate us. He is desperate for us. He is passionate about our company. See how everything about Jesus points to his mother. He will not be parted from her. His loving gaze is the source of our life, and we live because he looks at and to us. Mary simply holds onto Jesus with one hand and points to him with the other, but her eyes, as I've said, look to you as you look to her. This is a request. Please look at my son. But it's also an invitation. You are invited to hold Jesus as she does. You are invited to receive and know the same unconditional love as she. The birth of Christ is a part of the eternal story of God, who in his love came to find us and to bring us home, not because he needs us in any way, but because love is who he is. We might think of this love often as the unconditional love of a parent for their child. But what this picture teaches me, and what Christmas teaches us, is that it can also be known in the unhindered, unbound, pure love of a child who longs to embrace us. So thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to stand again, friends, and we're going to sing Silent Night.